Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's Gospel reading, Jesus focuses on prayer using the parable of the unjust judge to encourage us to persevere in our own prayers. Prayer is very precious to our Heavenly Father. In fact, we read in Revelation that the prayers of the saints are equated with incense offered to God at the altar. First of all, it's important to note what Jesus is not saying with the parable of the unjust judge. He's not saying that God is as tight-fisted in answering prayer as the unjust judge was frugal in dispensing justice. Judges were notoriously corrupt in first century Israel, and the implication in the parable would be that some rich person has bribed the judge not to give the widow justice, possibly to stop her from inheriting her husband's estate. And without the protection of a benefactor, the widow would have neither the strings to pull or a bribe to offer. Yet in this parable, it's her persistence that wins the day. What Jesus is saying is that if the unjust judge in this parable gives justice to the woman, surely God, who wants to answer our prayers, will answer them. It seems to me there are three challenges from this passage. First, God is calling his people to be persistent in prayer. Second, God is calling his people to be changed, to be transformed through prayer. And third, God is calling those to pray who truly enjoy spending time with him. The Jews in the first century limited their prayer time to just three times a day, so they would not wear out God with their petitions. But Jesus taught quite the opposite. He taught that God wants to hear from us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And there's no danger that we would wear out God with our petitions. The real danger is that we would run out of energy and give up praying. So, it's important to be persistent in petitioning God with our prayers. It's worth noting that the woman came to the judge because she expected justice. She expected to win. In other words, she had faith in receiving a fair judgment. I wonder, do we have that kind of faith that the woman had? Do we have the faith that God is really listening to us? Do we have faith that he will answer our prayers? And do we realize that his will be done, that his answer may not be what we hope for or even expected? Also, are we persistent enough when we pray, or do we give up too easily? Do we sometimes pray with having no anticipation or expectation that our prayers will be answered? Deep down, do we ever feel like we're just going through the motions, almost being sure that God won't answer us? Well, when we pray like that, without anticipation and expectation, our unanswered prayer will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. We need to pray in faith, and we need to realize that God is indeed listening. And he will consider our petitions and ultimately answer us. Might not be the answer, again, that we want or we're expecting, but he will answer us. The second challenge in this parable is that God is calling his people to be changed, to be transformed through prayer. And that's why we pray in our services, and our services are filled with prayer and confession. When we repent, that's when God truly transforms us. In the 18th century, John Newton was a slave trader. He swore and he cursed. He bought and he sold slaves. He nearly lost his life in a storm, and it was in that storm that he found God. So he repented, he renounced his evil ways, and eventually he became a vicar in the Anglican Church. Newton would later help William Wilberforce to outlaw slavery throughout the British Empire. Newton was one of the leading men in the evangelical revival in England. You may know him as the author of the hymn, Amazing Grace. You see, no one is too lost or too bad for the grace of God. Third, God is calling those to pray who truly enjoy spending time with him. Prayer is fellowship. It's open communication between God and each one of us, much like talking with a friend. The conversation needs to be two ways. We need to have private time with God. We need to have quiet time with God. In fact, Jesus says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. That's pretty clear, right? We go into our room, we close the door, and we pray. We talk with God. And then we listen. Jesus, after intense ministry, would go away, even away from his closest disciples, to pray quietly. Mark records the following in the life of Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If Jesus needed time with God, alone time with God, how much more do we need that? And again, we also need to listen to the voice of God. And how we do that in this day and age is by reading scripture. That is how God speaks to us in this day and age, through his holy word in the Bible. And when we read scripture, we're bound to gain knowledge. But if we want to hear God speaking to us through his word, we need to also meditate on those passages that we're reading. We need to ask ourselves, what are these words saying to me? And by meditating on God's word, we gain understanding. And that's important. What good is knowledge without understanding? So, today's gospel reading reminds us that first, God is calling us to be people who are persistent in prayer. Second, God is calling us to be people that are changed, transformed through prayer. And third, God is calling those to pray who truly enjoy spending time with him. So I think it would be a good and fitting for us to close with a prayer. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day and we ask that you reveal more about the nature of prayer. May our hearts and our minds be open to your word this day. We ask this in the blessed name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the church. Please rise. Let us pray for ourselves, for the church around the world, and for all people in their various circumstances. When we or others in the church around the world forget our baptism, Heavenly Father, remind us of our baptism into your family. Raise our sights, remind us of your constant power to use the gifts you have given, and grant us to speak of your great love. Through us, may your kingdom come to many on earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
When we neglect to see your great love in sending our Savior to suffer and die at the hands of sinful humans, open our ears to hear your word and our mouths to sing his praises, so that we would not stop at quietly meeting the physical needs of people around us. Grant us opportunity to tell of our baptism in Christ's presence with us each day, Lord, in your mercy. When we become complacent with our own spiritual circumstances and do not recognize the strength of Christ's resurrection in our baptism, rejuvenate our faith and move us to find those not yet in the kingdom, proclaiming by word and deed his grace and inviting them to holy baptism, Lord, in your mercy. When we look at problems beyond us, remind us, O Father, of our baptism. Grant us to be part of your answer to other people's prayers. Open our hearts and voices to share your love and care, bringing about thanks and praise in the lives of friends and family. Lord, in your mercy. These and any other things you would have us ask of you, grant to us, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.